Sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
And tune into your favorite podcast,
where things will be misquoted
and opinions ain't sugar-coated.
'Cause DJ and Kelly are locked and probably loaded.
Hey guys, welcome to Locked and Probably Loaded with DJ and Kelly. I'm DJ, and I'm here with Kelly Blackheart. What's up, Kelly?
What's up? I'm feeding Rhino.
You know, Kelly just went to pee, and Rhino followed her right to the door.
He missed me. I was gone for 35 seconds.
He's adorable. Kelly adopted this dog. Tell us a little about how you got Rhino.
Oh, man. So, I've been everybody's resident dog sitter for fucking years.
Yeah, I thought about getting a dog and sticking you with it.
And everybody was always like, when are you going to get a dog? I'm like, I can't afford one. I don't know that I have the responsibility required for it. And then last year, around March.
There he is.
He's so cute.
Little meat face.
I posted a video last night of him that was actually pretty funny. He was plotting against me.
Oh, when he was stalking you?
Yeah.
You
want to
hear it?
Sure. I sound stupid, but.
You sound
so
like
you're trying to sneak up on me. What are you plotting, huh?
You sound like a dog parent. What
you
sound
trying
like.
To pounce? You trying to get up all in my skin?
He always
you wear
needs
my,
to
wear,
be
wear me like a skin suit
near me or on top of me.
He's so cute. I was afraid of him when he first got him.
Yeah, but the pounce is really like.
Oh, is it coming?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You want to cuddle? Okay. Okay, come on. Come on. Okay. Okay.
Ooh. Yay! He's a lover.
What are you plotting?
Yeah, he looks like he could be intimidating. Yeah. He has resting sad face,
yeah,
but
and
also
it's the breed. Like we've become.
His ears were cropped before I got him,
exactly.
So that makes him look tougher.
What kind of dog is he?
He's an American Bully, but he's mixed with Shar Pei, I believe, because he's got extra wrinkles on his face. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, like he, when I first got him, he wasn't nearly as confident as he is now.
Right.
So he had fear around men. But we do so much training, and now it's like the relationship that we have, I think he feels confident that I'm not going to bring anybody around him that is a threat.
He trusts that that he's in a safe place.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got him, how he came to you.
So my dad had, I was going through like a depressed moment, and like I've dealt with chronic depression, but mostly since I changed careers, I feel like my depression has been at bay, you know, because I wasn't doing like soul sucking work anymore. But every once in a while, I'd have these little dips. And so I was talking to him and he's like, well, that's why I love having your mom around, because, you know, there's always somebody around and blah, blah, blah. And I go, I don't want somebody in my house all the time. Like, I was like, I don't think I could deal with it. And he's like, maybe you should get a dog. And I was like, huh, okay. And because it's their house.
Right.
I'm like, I was never going to get a dog and ask for permission. But because it was his idea, I'm like, all right, well, if he's cool with it. Yeah. So, very thankful to my parents, obviously, for helping me out in my career change and all of that stuff.
And you found him how?
And so I was following a rescue called I Stand With My Pack on Instagram, because some of my friends are like friends of the people that do rescue there. And so I love looking at the pictures of the dogs. But it was funny because a year before I had seen Rhino, there was a video of a dog named Hippo who was initially fostered but then adopted by this girl named Kelsey, who I believe is like an influence. Like she's got a podcast and all this stuff. And I saw her video of when she was fostering Hippo and I was like, oh my God, that dog is so cute. Like I want a dog just like that. And like a year later, then Rhino came into their care and they named him Rhino because he looks a lot like Hippo. And I was the second on the list, but I guess the person in front of me fell through. And the weekend I got him, I was so fucking sick. I was throwing up constantly and having a fucking panic attack going, what the hell did I do?
Yeah. Like, it's scary, right?
Yeah, it was such a massive life change, but also just trying to figure out a new dog while you can't even take care of yourself. I cried so much the first weekend I had him because I was like, I think I made a mistake. Like, and I wasn't about to send him back.
Yeah, you don't
it was
be that
just like
asshole.
I was like, I guess I'll just be depressed for the rest of my life.
Right, now, you're going to your forever home.
Like, she cries a lot. Yeah. Dumb bitch. She lost 6 pounds this weekend. but now it's like I can't even imagine not having him. It takes a while to form that bond too and all that stuff.
It's interesting to see the change in you. We are not as pessimistic and shit on things like people. Like, we sort of pretend like we are with each other.
Yeah, a lot of times we do cynicism.
Yeah, we're pretty soft,
joke.
But we're not really that cynical. But, you know, when all of your friends around you, like, have children, like, they can't stop showing you, like... Every person who becomes a parent who talks about how they would never do that mm-hmm. gets sucked into it. And so your whole experience becomes, you know, watching their kids do, like, you know, look how smart he is. He stood up mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And it's really cute because you do that. I mean, not to an extreme amount, but you definitely do that with Rhino because you love him.
Yeah.
And he's a big placeholder. He's a big part of your life. He takes up a lot of space in your life.
I'm with him more than any 24/7, you know?
So I think that's really good. That vulnerability and that sort of,
it's interesting that you say that because that is something that I had been working on to actually actively talk about the things that are going on in my life, because I've always been so conscious of, I feel like nowadays when people ask you a question, they're not even really wanting to hear the answer. Yeah. They're doing it out of like niceties or whatever. And so I take that at face value. If you ask me what's going on in my life, I'm going to tell you. But then I see people just like not giving a fuck what the answer is. So I would always internalize that with like, oh, maybe you talk about this too much or whatever. But then when I like
it's a you thing.
Yeah. But then when I like talk to people in my actual life, they're like, you never tell anybody about anything that's going on in your life. And I'm like, whoa. So I became so cognizant of saying things one or two times. If I was dating somebody and I mentioned their name twice in a conversation, I would like overthink the fuck out of it. When in reality, other people talk about things they're excited about non-fucking-stop.
My texts are 47 pages long because I don't like a bunch of back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it when you ask somebody a question and then you're 97 texts in and they won't let it die. So I give a very thorough answer up front. Like, people are like, how are you? What are you doing tomorrow? And I'm like, 45 minutes of stuff to read. Yeah. Read it at your leisure, but you don't have to text me back.
Right. Yeah, you are a big paragraph texter, but I love it. Because it goes on, you could go easily on 6 tangents in one single text paragraph that you send. And that's a skill. And I get
it's better in written form to get back to where you're coming from. Like, you know what I mean? When you're talking into...
Yeah,
like I lose track of stuff. I usually get back though. Covered Rhino. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you. One of the reasons why that you were sort of reticent about doing it was because of what your parents would think. I've never known you to care what your parents think.
No, it was about respecting the fact that it was their house. You know, it's like not that I wouldn't take care of it if he messed things up or whatever, but it's like I didn't want to do something where if they had an opinion that was opposite to mine that I'd have to fight my case.
I respect
you know?
That. And
it just wasn't.
And it really is on brand for you when I think about it. You also won't let me rob them.
I know.
I've been proposing
that
we rob your parents forever and you won't let that happen.
I just think that there are probably richer people to rob.
Yeah, but we probably wouldn't get away with it.
I don't think you would feel good about yourself.
Because it wouldn't take a lot of skill or we wouldn't get anything. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think there's like that much extra going around.
Okay, well, it appears that way to me.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, it shows your loyalty that you stand up. Like, you don't rob them. Don't rob my parents. That's a good child. That's a mark of a good child.
Yeah, I'm very cognizant of my actions. And if I encourage anybody to rob my parents and somebody does, then I'll feel very guilty. And you know I have a guilt complex. I can feel guilty about anything.
You really do. I don't.
It's a phenomenon that I'm like, what the fuck happened to you, Kelly? Because I can't sleep if I feel like I've hurt somebody's feelings.
Are Catholics guilty in general?
Yeah, but I mean,
I
strayed from religion so early on. Like, I never got confirmed. When I was 11, I said, I'm not doing this.
What did your parents say to that?
I mean, I was always playing like a sport or something like that. So there were so many conflicts with doing confirmation classes and all that stuff anyway. So it's not like they've fought me on it.
Yeah. And sports is actually what brought you to California to begin with, right?
Yeah. Played volleyball at Cal State Northridge.
Yeah. And so I knew that. I didn't know this. Oh, I think I did know this initially. But so your brother, this is a really interesting fact. Won the Doritos $1 million Super Bowl contest?
Correct. Yes. So in 2015, so Scott is the reason that I'm in entertainment. I was working in renewable energy and finance for 11 years, and he had always been trying to get me into comedy, and at the time he was directing Tosh.0 and all that stuff.
Yeah. On the screen right there.
Yeah, you can play it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, I hope it's not contagious. So I do have it.
There's my nephew. And there's Grant right in the back. And that's my head right behind
his. That is Grant.
Yeah.
Is that your head right there?
No, it's behind Grant. So that like little.
Oh, that little tiny part of head.
We filmed this the morning after Halloween in 2014, and so I basically like a lot of the extras are my roommates and my neighbors, and I forced them to drive up to Van Nuys from Long Beach that morning to help out and be extras. And at the time, he's submitting for a Doritos commercial. We're not anticipating anything coming from
it. Had he done anything in entertainment at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he had been directing Tosh.0 for years and stuff like that. His agent basically said, I think that you should get into commercial work, but you should enter this competition just so you have something for your reel. And you were
at Northridge.
I was living in Long Beach at the time. So this was 2014.
This was after college.
Yeah, I graduated college in
2008. And you said you were in a soul-sucking job. What was that?
I worked in renewable energy for a while. My last job was at a finance company that dealt with renewable energy type stuff. And I'm not a salesperson. Like, I'm not motivated by selling as much as I possibly can.
Or money?
I'm not really motivated by money. Like, I would love to have a lot of money, but the things that I enjoy are very simple. Like, what I want from money is security and stability. Yeah, it's like, I don't think that, of course, everybody has these lofty dreams of having this mansion and all of this stuff, but that is not what would fulfill me. Or, like, I would love to have a lot of money to be able to, like, give it away a lot, like do nice things when you go to dinner, like leave big tips. Yeah. Like that would be really fun for me.
That is how when I spend money, I mostly spend money. I mean, yeah. I do buy the occasional art thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think everybody has certain things that.
But the majority of what it's about security.
Yeah,
it's about like just also when this industry, like how you're respected is how you're paid. Mm-hmm. And it's a little crushing to be, you know, 20 years into something and you feel like you're still at square one.
Right.
So that's how money sort of comes into play. But also just the fact that, I mean, if the pandemic taught us anything, it's that things can change on an absolute dime.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, people's lives are completely upended, and it's sort of the only sort of absolute protection you can have. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really respect people who just one day walk into work and you're like, you know what? I cannot do this anymore. I know this pays a ton of money, but I am so unhappy. I cannot be here anymore. I did it.
Yeah.
I had a really stable job making pretty decent money in law and just couldn't do it anymore. And so when I meet other people who one day just went in and be like, my life is worth more than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
because it's not a thought that we're really allowed to have.
No, you're supposed to pick a lane and stick in it. I changed careers when I was almost 31, which is like, that's when you should be. And I was like the highest that I could really be for what I was doing at that company. And I took a $140,000 pay cut to go be a PA on the Jim Jefferies show.
And that's when I met you.
And yeah. And so it's like, to me, people are like, oh, that's brave of you to do. Well, I'm privileged enough to know that like I did have savings when I left my job, but I knew that if shit went down that I had family that could help.
Yeah.
But also I knew that if I fucking stayed at that job, I would have ended my life. Like, yeah. I was at that point where I was having suicidal ideations again every single morning for 6 months. And I was like, I got to do something about this. So when Scott and Jim met and we're going to do a show together, I was like, please, I'll do anything. I will get coffee for you. I will, because I never, that's why I never wanted to change careers initially. It's like, I'm not going to take a massive pay cut to go get somebody's coffees. And then when it got to the point where I was like, or die? Yeah, yeah. I guess I'll go get the coffee.
And also a big part of the difficulty of making that decision is that everybody around you is like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah. Yeah.
And your parents are upset and they look at you like you're a failure or that you can't hack it or that you're...
They've been incredibly fucking supportive. And I think it also helped that Scott was successful enough in entertainment and yeah. he was the one pushing it. And they could trust that he had instincts that maybe I could do something here, whether it's writing or producing or whatever.
But you're definitely not a Nepo baby because... You would be the worst Nepo baby ever.
I mean, nepotism was involved in my hiring for sure. But we didn't even talk to each other the first season of the show. Like yeah. almost nobody knew that we were related to each other because we wanted to
but
like...
But the perks weren't directly like you're going to go and have an office in the corner.
Oh, no.
Like
a corner office overlooking
sunset with enough money to live on.
I
you're
started
making
as a
minimum
PA.
Wage.
Yeah, I made seven yeah. something a week.
Like
yeah.
that's why when people refer... I mean, no one's ever done that about you to me. But like when they're like, well, you know, their dad... is an right. actor, and they work in the mailroom at William Morris.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, do you have any, my manager's assistants, they'll respond to emails at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, go to bed.
Yeah.
But the thing is about that is that I've all gone on to, if they want to stay in entertainment, a lot of them are like, you know what? This is not for me.
Right.
I don't want to give my
yeah.
life to this. And they bounced out of it. But the people who stay and go through it, have all gone on to really great positions in entertainment. You find out what you want to do by getting your foot in the door.
Yeah.
And so, I'm a big believer in use anything that you possibly can. Like when I went to college, in my entrance letter, I referenced the fact that I had cancer and my grades weren't necessarily as good as they should have been because my homeschool teacher was the PE teacher. Mm. Like he taught health and PE and he was trying to teach me like algebra and shit and he couldn't do it. So I you know, don't know that stuff and still don't know it. I don't know how to fill a park either.
I don't know algebra either.
I'm a big, so I wrote it in my, I was like, this happened to me. This is my circumstance. Use anything that you possibly can.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like I even said to Scott, I was like, I don't want like a producer position. I think he was like, yeah, I wasn't going to get you.
You're not going to get one of
it's
those.
It's like that because yeah. his I mean, I think he was always really confident that I would be good at what I did. But his reputation's also on the line. Like that's what's yeah. weird to me is then now when I have people that reach out to me, it's like
actually
I have
pressure.
I haven't
if you
talked
were fucking
yet.
Up. It's like, hey,
yeah.
get it together. This is my job. I've earned yeah. this.
I mean, Jim told Scott that if I sucked, he got to fire me himself, which I'm sure he would have enjoyed doing, but unfortunately
he would have written it in your birthday
I
card.
I did it okay. But yeah, so I'm very thankful to Scott for getting me to switch careers and do all that stuff. But yeah, he won the $1 million in 2015 and it was very cool.
Since you what year did you make this switch from your job to start entertainment?
2017.
Have you ever had moments in that time of looking back saying, what the hell have I done?
Yes and no, but it's really about the fact that entertainment is so fucking unstable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah. that's what we were just talking about with the money, is like you're seeking the stability, but this is not the industry for stability. However, when I was, you know, when you're in a sales position, it's like the constant stress of quotas and all of it's like it's a different level, it's a different type of stress.
Oh God, even just saying sales quotas and
yeah.
stuff like that makes me, it's so not what my strengths are.
I was good at it. Like I got to the point where I could, I mean, not my last job, but the other like the solar sales jobs and stuff like that before, I only worked 40 to 50 hours a month because I could hit my quota pretty easily because I made friends with my customers. So they would refer people to me and then I wasn't having to go like get cold leads and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was good enough at what I did, but it did feel soul sucking. It's like, the creative part of my brain was dying, because there's no room for creativity when you're in sales and presentations where you have to get the right information out and all that stuff. So I just
but the flip side of that is I love being sold to.
Oh, same. Oh God,
I don't like when people are like, the internet is targeting us.
Let me click buy now. Just tell me what it is later.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Just send me an email about what it is.
Exactly. I love being sold to. Yeah. Like people are like, they're taking your information. They're targeting you. I'm like, good.
Good. Yes. I don't want to search for the things I want. I want them to appear in my inbox.
When there are 27 different varieties of toothpaste.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me which one I need.
Yeah, it's funny because I hate shopping. Like shopping is the bane of my existence. I do not go to the mall. I don't even like going to the grocery store. But online shopping is different because I'm not making an event of it. Yeah. It's like something pops up and you go, I could use that. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I can't use that. Like, what am I doing?
When we go home today, there is like 27 items from Temu, including a back posture corrector.
Yeah, you keep Temu in business, and my mom.
There's a back posture corrector that I think will add like an inch to each one of my shoulders, so I'll look better in shirts. And so I'm excited about trying that on. But here's the thing: I didn't look at the sizing of it, so I bought a small.
It's like a dollhouse.
I think it may be
it's Barbie's chiropractic office.
I think it may be. And I was really looking forward to it, but there is a leather bunny mask in that.
Mm-hmm. Necessary.
Yeah. Things I need.
Yeah, things.
and a bunch of bathroom organization stuff that I'm kind of excited about.
Like, yeah, I mean.
But the thing is, all that stuff was targeted to me. Well, the bunny mask wasn't. I mean, that's pretty hard to target unless you really met me.
I think he's saying he's a victim of TV. Yeah.
but most of
the, it's a hate crime.
Most of the stuff was targeted. The feathered gloves were so I'm dressing as a bird at one of my Supernatural shows. Like a sexy bird, though. Like,
yeah, obviously. If you're dressed like a bird, of course it's sexy bird.
It's a little bit of that kind of stuff that's on the screen right now. I think maybe number one is the gloves that I bought. To go over a very sort of bird skin like suit that I bought from mm-hmm. ASOS, mm-hmm. And it won't come up as bird skin suit.
Yeah,
type in black sequin suit. ASOS, A-S-O-A-S.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay. It is. Hold on. Let me get closer to the screen. I think it's number two. It's suit number two. Let me see that. No, it's not.
It's close enough.
It looks so good, though. It's more subtle than that. It's a really good-looking suit. I bought a bunch of sequins recently to where it shows. That one I bought that looks like the zebra print one. I'm doing that for Jungle. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, shopping at home. It's just so much easier. And the thing is, all I do is like, hey, I want this thing. And I just look for it for 5 minutes. And then 2 days later, it's done for me.
Yeah.
All these things show up in my Facebook ads and on my social media ads. And I'm like, that's exactly what I want. And then I go down a two-day rabbit hole of buying all that stuff. But the problem is you have to buy it in like three different sizes. So that's why Kelly was going to pick me up to come here today. And I'm like, I have to go to UPS before I leave because I have to return. All the stuff didn't work, but I hate going to a store. I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate trying on clothes.
Me too.
And that's why
I won't do it in a store.
That's why when the clothes come to the house that I buy, I wait to the last possible moment to return it because I don't want to try them on because I know what I look like naked because I see it every day. But it becomes a reality when you're putting garments on it.
But that's why you got to say Pookie's looking absolutely fire today.
I forgot about that. You have to remind me of that.
Yeah, it's good.
It's the third suit. It's a really good looking suit.
It almost looks a little snake skinny from far
yeah,
away.
Yeah, yeah, but bird skin and snake skin are kind of similar. It's that sort of like
cousins.
Yeah, they are. Well, they're definitely dinosaurs. And Satan put them in the earth's crust to make us doubt God's existence. Did I say that on this podcast or the one before?
I don't remember.
Okay, I hope I'm not going to say that every podcast because you already know it because it's common knowledge. Jokes.
Wait, I was going to say. I had like stopped buying any type of clothes online except for things that I'm just getting more of my uniform because I used to hate returning stuff so much that I go, this doesn't really fit. I'm never going to wear it. And I would just keep it.
I bought things on Amazon that had people's personal belongings in the pockets because they bought it and returned it. I don't do that.
What? like wear things and return them?
Yeah.
I don't either.
I do not do that.
Almost all of the clothes I bought for Hawaii, I ended up returning and I didn't wear.
Yeah, I know
anything.
You didn't wear any of them. But I don't, I mean, each one of those suits is like $100 and it's in they're work suits. I mean, I don't wear sequins in my normal life. I just don't anymore. I never did.
It's not the 2000s anymore.
No. But here's the thing. Actually, it's the time it's the most socially acceptable and I've moved on from it.
Yeah. I mean, but it's fun to have those little dress. That's when you wear the special event clothes.
What? In the bedroom?
No, for the Supernatural event.
Oh, yeah. That's why I have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just referencing earlier.
When I said red carpet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway.
Anyway, so I had no questions planned to ask you because I'm not a great interviewer, but I listened to each one of those responses because I listened to you.
Oh, wow.
But I wanted the audience to know a little bit more about you because if you've decided to go on this journey, I don't know if you necessarily would based on what we've done so far, that I want them to know who they're listening to. I will say this, I can vouch for you being an extremely good person, and that's, I don't even need to say any more than that. You're a good person. Mm-hmm. And it makes me want to be around you.
Thanks. Going to follow up with a roast?
No.
I'm waiting for it.
I thought about it. See, I have a hard time loving on somebody and not punching them in the balls afterward. Yeah. But just a gentle tap. But the irony is, I hate it when I get nut tapped. I don't like it.
I've never done that to you.
No, but you're just a good person. And like, one of the things I love most about you is that you're one of the things that you love are words of affirmation. And like you asked me to write you a letter for your birthday.
Not you
year.
Specifically.
No, but no.
I was like, DJ, yeah. Tell me you love me a letter.
But you hinted that's what you liked.
Yeah, it was the pandemic and nobody was going to be getting together for birthdays. And so I said, hey, if you have a story about a time we were together, like send me a letter.
And it was such an easy thing to write. And I enjoyed writing
fucking
it.
Fucking bald.
Oh,
to your letter.
I just remembered. I have to do an affidavit from somebody. From somebody's court case.
Someone write that down.
It's like 7 days overdue.
Oops.
Somebody's suing somebody, and I was witness to something, and I've got to write an affidavit today.
Okay. Well, we can write it on the way home.
Yeah, that's something you can help me with.
yes, with my legal degree.
No, I just have to write what I saw without editorializing, and I know how to do all that stuff because I sat on a bit of discovery when I worked at the law offices of Bart Durham, which is a personal injury law firm in Nashville.
Shout
have
out.
You been injured in an accident? Call 1-800. I don't know if it's 1-800 Bart Durham. I don't remember. I'm really loyal to that law firm because Bart Durham is on the left. I think if I'm not mistaken, he won a Supreme Court case in like 1969. Maybe it was the state Supreme Court to allow him to advertise on television. Like he was one, but if that is a cloudy memory, I definitely know that he is one of the, he sort of pioneered that, you know, like Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. He was a pioneer of that. And, when I had done two movies, and I didn't have the balls to quit to really leave that job. And I started being so bad at it that ultimately I actually was pushed out of the nest. I was going to my work every day, closing the door, shutting the door and crying.
As one does.
And then one day he gave me like 6 weeks of severance on the,
well, that's nice.
On the condition that I moved to LA and try to be an actor.
Wow.
So I have a big fondness.
A real believer.
Yeah, I have a real fondness
have
for that.
Have you reached out
time.
To him at all?
Yeah, I've talked to him 100 times. I think he may be a little older now.
Oh, yeah.
I certainly am.
Chronologically, that is how things work.
Yeah, that's how things work. I certainly am. And you know, like he knows my gratitude and then you move on.
If you've reached out to him at all, it's hard to have
gratitude about something that happened 27 years ago.
He pushed you out of the nest, but you've continued everything else.
I had to earn it.
Yeah.
And also going back to nepotism, when people earn, like mm-hmm. how you got in, but if you're great at something, it really did bother me once. So I was on a flight, I was early in my career, and when things first happen and you hit quick, it seems easy. Mm-hmm. And then at some point you realize how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the first realization of how hard it was to keep it going. And I was on a flight in, I think to Spain. Well, I must've been, cause the magazine was in Spanish And I'm reading through an article with Gwyneth Paltrow, and she talks about how hard it was to start entertainment. And her, I think her godfather is Steven Spielberg, and her first big part was in a movie he directed. Mm-hmm. She played Wendy in Hook. And so I got a little mad about that, but mm-hmm. she's really good at acting. Yeah. And so I sort of get both sides of it.
Like, for sure, yeah, for
but,
sure.
But it's, maybe it's kind of a little asshole-y to talk about your plight and how hard it was to get, when like people are literally here for 30 years and can't get agents.
For sure. Like I will never, that's something that I won't say, is like that entertainment was, I haven't had that experience that it's been super hard yet. I've been very lucky, but also I've been good enough to earn the positions. And also, I think something we talked about very early on in our friendship is because Scott had...
Oh, yeah. And her father is Bruce Paltrow and her mother is Blythe Danner.
Yeah.
Two amazing actors.
And she's anyway, hot.
And she's gorgeous. And the thing is, I just want to reiterate, I actually don't know Gwyneth Paltrow, but I'm not really crapping on her. I'm just saying it turns people on you when they already have a nepotism idea about
sure,
you.
Yeah.
And then you bitch about how hard it was to right. get established.
It's one thing to be like, this industry is really hard for other people to break into, and I'm so grateful for the position I'm in, versus I worked so
and
hard to get here.
And also our patience now about bitching about privilege has started to...
Yeah.
Well, not started to. It's frayed.
It's definitely frayed. Yeah, yeah. It's... I mean, it's like everybody has their own version of hard, and I do like to keep that in mind, but also check yourself.
Yeah.
Check yourself.
Have a little self-awareness. Yeah. Tell your friends.
Tell
your friends you felt that it was hard for you. Tell your friends, but don't tell a Spanish magazine that's the only thing to read on a plane before the internet. don't, you know what I mean? Before you could log on and do other stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Gwyneth Paltrow, come on the show.
Hey, send us some goop. I'm not a fan of the goop. Feels like one of those words that's on a forbidden list, you know?
Well, I mean, I think it was when she was married to Chris Martin. She was from Europea for a while. Mm. You know how people move to England and get a British accent? I lived in England for a long time and left with a worse Southern accent than I arrived with, because nobody talked like me and my ear was straining.
Like, maybe they can't hear me. Exactly, they're saying it wrong.
Exactly. Y'all talk funny.
I'll do one more example.
Exactly. But I wasn't going to come back home to America and do this. Well, he's parking the car in the garage. Mm-hmm. Or do you have any aluminum foil? It makes me want to punch people in the face that do that. It feels very disingenuous.
So I can pick up an accent pretty quickly, but I'm not...
You have to work to call it the lift, not the elevator.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. If you're changing the verbiage of everything, that's really... But like...
Do you think it would be easy for you to call aluminum foil aluminum foil?
Not at all.
Or call basil basil?
No. You can't...
Or pasta, pasta.
Is that what they say?
Yeah,
pasta?
They do. They say pasta. Anything that we do a soft A with, they do a hard A with.
Lock them up.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Lock them up.
Or and sometimes things that end with an A almost have an R sound at the end. They say pastor. Have you noticed that? Australians do it too.
I notice that more in Australians, but I don't know. I guess I haven't.
Here's something interesting and apropos of nothing. I had to do 1600s American accent uh-huh. and something on Netflix a couple years ago, and they think it's close to it's like a mixture of Irish and the Canadian accent.
Wait,
with a little Boston thrown in. Yeah, the soft accent. Yeah, soft R's like ah, like an R was ah, mm-hmm. but it almost sounded like Irish and pretty guttural.
Is there a video of how this accent sounds?
No, don't pull up a video of me doing it, because I don't want to be criticized.
Is there a video of Young Google doing this? Do you have your own YouTube channel?
If you want to look up, don't do it. We won't do it for you. But if you want to look up, type DJ Qualls as a rat speaking in an old English accent. I play a rat.
Oh, is this the Cabinet of Curiosities?
Yeah. But it's interesting that, I don't remember how we started talking about that, but... Oh, and the original British the new British accent, they think started with the rise of the merchant class who were trying to fit in with the aristocracy. Mm. It's like sort of like how the Kardashians invented that accent and now kids are mimicking it.
Kim.
Yeah, exactly. That's how language changes.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's like That is one of those things. I used to be such a stickler for like grammar and stuff.
I hate
like that.
Vocal fry though. I'm so tired. I can't talk anymore.
Sometimes I have it.
I'm exhausted.
But I don't ever choose to have it. It's usually like I just woke up.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's affectations in general. I think I told you I can't watch professional porn because of that. Anything that reads as artifice, if you make a false noise around
me, yeah,
like it takes me out of the equation. Anything that doesn't read as genuine. So like I was at a Panera Bread once. Had somebody when I was working a lot, like I don't have anybody helping me now, but I had a bit of help because I was always gone. And so I had somebody help me come over and like straighten things up and help me clean the house a bit. And she wouldn't ever let me help because I would take a sponge and spray bathroom cleaner on the bathroom floor and there would be a line of dirt and hair onto the left. And I would spray it again and it'd be on the right. So after a while, she's like, get out of here. You're making a mess. So then I started just going to Panera and having soup in a bread bowl, broccoli cheddar soup in a bread bowl and a half Greek salad and sit there and read a book. Well, one day there was this man sitting there with his daughter and I hear him do this, stop talking like that. And she's like this, daddy, you're being crazy right now. I don't know where you're at, man. And he's like, give me your phone. If you can't talk like a real person, like, this is how I talk, daddy. And she's like, that is not how you talk. That is, be yourself. And he took her phone away. And I was like, and at the time I thought, oh, that's a dad really looking out for his daughter. And I'm like, but who's to say? Culture evolves.
Yeah.
I don't think I would necessarily feel safe if I was in a big accident and go in and somebody's like this, okay, listen.
Oh my God, that's bad. Your leg's like broken.
Yeah. I do not think I would be comforted by
Can
that.
Can you fix it? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. In a hundred years, maybe people would.
Yeah.
When everybody talks like that.
And that's why I really walked away from being a grammar stickler too, because in most cases
it does
like it would affect if I was having conversations with somebody regular and they were constantly messing up. But
if
it's like,
you are dirty talking me and,
oh God,
and it goes it can be a little grammatically incorrect, but if you do
like,
this,
I wanna touch your penis. YOU apostrophe R E? Well,
yeah, especially if they were spelling it. No, no, it's just like this. If somebody did this,
oh, I thought you were talking about sex.
No, talk. No, but the sex talk, like face to face. If somebody was doing something like this, I remember yesterday when I seen you in those jeans. Like it would definitely soften the mood. I wouldn't like it. I'm really sad. Actually, I'm not great at dirty talk. You have to be. Folks at home, let me give you some unsolicited advice. If you do dirty talk, you better be damn good at it. You better, because if you're not, it is so disingenuous.
It's very off-putting.
When I lived in England, my first real big boy adult relationship, I was like 20. Somebody with a very proper British accent, and he would do stuff like this. First, I'm going to touch you here, and then touch you over there as well. And I'm like, stop talking.
Don't tell
it's
me.
Like,
I want to be surprised.
It's like having sex with Masterpiece Theater. You are wrecking this for me.
We don't need a narrator.
Yeah. As well? Yeah, you can't say as well during sexy time. Yeah. I'm going to touch you over here and then over here as well.
Indubitably.
Exactly. You're indubitably going to enjoy this. I was going to call you yesterday, success. But the telephone was dead.
See, I'm much more likely to ruin a moment. Like with the last guy I dated, he was like, you want to put some music on? And I was like, yeah. And I just started playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle theme song. So that's my dirty talk, is like, I just want to have fun. It feels so, you're right. Like, I mean, but some people are good at that and they're naturals. Yeah, like I'm not a flirt.
I've experienced people who are damn good at it.
Yeah.
But if you're not good at it, I don't know how you practice it, but you need to practice it.
Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror and say it to yourself.
Say, no, I'm going to touch you over here, yeah. Darling. Yeah.
Ooh, all of these cracks and crevices.
Saying, however, in sex talk.
Yeah.
Do although you like that there?
Although if somebody turned to me and said, I want some more, please, I probably would like that. I want some more, please.
Keep it simple. Yeah, keep really it simple.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, like, I also don't want to hear you talk that much. And
if there is a semicolon in the sentence, it is wrong for the bed.
There's only one colon, two colons in this bed.
Oh, no. No. And you've lost me. Good night, everybody. Here's the thing. I'm surprised it took that long to devolve into that. This is our fourth episode, isn't it?
Fifth.
Is it our fifth?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for our sixth, we'll do a greatest hits episode. We'll just show up, introduce it, and do our best clips.
Something worth noting too is we are pre-recording these before we release, and so as we move forward in time, people will be able to email us and do all that stuff. We'll answer your relationship question. We can give unqualified advice.
Break
up with your boyfriends for you.
I'm great at that. I've never broken up with somebody on Cameo, but I've told people they're having babies. Mm. I've guided them through stuff. I love telling people things. But also, I'd probably encourage them to do it themselves.
Chain flange.
I would tell them, chain flange. I would tell them, it was actually flange. I would encourage them to do it in person, but on the show.
Right.
Yeah. But this is a living... It's a living thing and a changing thing. It's like when we talked about that, when we started talking about doing this, you look at the pilot of a TV show and season three of the pilot of the show is a completely different thing because mm-hmm. things evolve. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much looking forward to interacting with people. But until then, I don't want structure on this. I don't want to come in. Like, I had a couple things I wanted to talk about today, but like, and they were in the last episode. This episode I like a lot better because I don't like construct.
Yeah, I mean, and I told you, I'm like the podcast that I do with Jack and Tommy. It's called the Unsolicited Podcast, and
that would be $1,000.
We did our first episode, and it was so structured. It was like a get to know each other, and we were asking each other questions. And we finished recording, and we go, "What the fuck was that?" Like, and so we re-recorded the first episode, and then when I tell people to listen to it, I'm like, "Start at episode 11." We did not find our groove until episode 11 because you've only ever guested on my other podcast. Like, you haven't done a bunch of podcasts. So to assume that we would have any type of, you know, structure right off the bat, I wasn't assuming that.
And the thing is, I do vacillate, like, because we haven't had feedback yet, there are some things that are on my mind to talk about, like things that are happening mm-hmm. in the world. Like, I don't want our show to be that. I mean, but everybody says that. But we're not qualified to be pundits.
Right.
We're just not, but we are people that live in the world. Mm-hmm. I do hate being told to stick to acting. And I get told that every time I have an opinion about anything. Well, anybody does in any walk of life. Stick to what you do. Stick to what you know. But what I know more than anything, what I've done longer than anything, is be a person who lives in this world. And I listen to everyone's opinion. I do. But the thing is, I don't obviously agree with everything anybody says. But I usually can understand context from like why you think that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I think you're right.
Sure.
And how I usually am resolved to handle things especially when there's a political debate or a societal thing where you have an idea about people's moral compass. I'm like, well, then we'll fight it at the polls. I'll vote against you. You'll vote against me. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then we'll let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. You and I notice we both do kind of the same thing where when new information is presented, both of us will say, oh, I'd never thought of it that way.
That happens to me all the time.
All the fucking time. And I love getting new information like that, especially when it pertains to people's experiences in things that it's like, there's no way I would ever have had that experience. So it's not something I could have ever thought of, imagined in my own mind. But as soon as somebody says it, I go, wow, that really shed some light on things. Yeah, so
hard and fast opinions and that are completely unchangeable based on new facts doesn't make me respect you as a thinking person.
Sure.
It just doesn't. But having conviction does, even if you're a little misguided, as long as it doesn't go into a place where you're harming other people. That's my whole thing about anything.
Yeah.
Do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, take your embryos to school or whatever you want to do. whatever you want to do, go do it. Why do I have to do that?
I keep my embryos frozen in a Stanley cup because even when my car sets on fire, the embryos stay frozen. Stanley.
I just found out that was a thing the other day.
The Stanley cup?
Yeah. I completely ignored that.
Truly unreal that there is an entire craze of like, you wouldn't think that a drinking cup would become some sort of status symbol. I don't fall into those. Things.
People found crock pots and they were like, "Did you know about this?" I'm like, "They did in the 30s." Like, and that is what the internet and social media has done though. Like, all these things are new ideas, right? Yeah. They go out of fashion. Like, isn't a Stanley Cup a thermos?
Yeah, it's just a
It's a thermos,
aluminum mug type thing.
But it is. But if it keeps things hot and cold, that is a thermos, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they've been around for a long time. I had one in my Scooby-Doo lunchbox.
This one you could put a snack bowl on top of it. That actually does change things.
You can get a knockoff one on Temu for $7.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's made of lead.
You will have long term problems, but you won't have spent $45.
Is that how much they cost? Are they $45?
I think they're 40 plus. I have no idea.
I saw
status symbols never meant anything to me.
That like fashion is like big design houses are making holsters for them.
Wait, what do you like?
Like you can wear like see that right there. You can wear it, but like I don't know if it's Louis Vuitton, but one of those guys are making things that you can. Like designer Stanley Cup.
So you'll be getting one.
Of course I will. The other day I showed Kelly a $400 Prada phone case. I'm not going to buy it, but I know her feelings about it. So that's the kind of troll that I am. Is showing somebody something that I know that they are still be they would do this. They would listen to me for like 2 minutes and do this. Why? Why would you do that?
But I enable you when I know it's important. Like talk about antiques and stuff like that you're really excited about. Oh, yeah. I go, whatever, you'll make more money. But when you talk about stupid shit like this, I go, why the fuck would you spend $525 on that? You're like, because it's cute.
Yeah, the difference is about, well, also that is part of the redneck in recovery of me, because like think about, I mean, when you come from something where you couldn't possibly save enough to have skin in the game, mm-hmm. if you could get something nice like a bass boat or like a fancy rifle or whatever it is that you like, a nice truck, that's showing that your life has sort of meaning, that you've sort of made some progress in it. So I completely get that, but that is because bass boats were never my thing for reasons known to all of you that are listening, and or big trucks. It's that kind of thing just became something I could look at on a hard day and be like, this, I've done something, I'm doing something. I know it's vapid. And as I've gotten older, they are sort of, it's losing its sort of shine. The arts and the antiques, though, are, if I don't know what
you'll
else.
Die.
I just don't know what else I would do.
I don't ever want you to be depressed. Yeah. So I just say
it's
yes.
It's either that or gardening. Exactly.
No, we'll get the antiques. All right.
Exactly.
You want to play us out with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle theme song? Guys, we'll see you next week.
Is this really the theme song?
Yeah, this is our new theme song.
It goes like this. It goes, heroes in a half shell.
Yeah, you didn't know the beginning part?
No.
How do you come in halfway through the?
Oh, because I think when they went to commercial,
you were busy coming in your eyes.
I think when they went to commercial, I come in my eyes. No, I think
it's, which affected my hearing.
When they went to commercial, they used to play that "Heroes in a Half Shell."
Yeah. Oh, they just did like a little.
Yeah. Maybe we were so poor we couldn't afford the first part of the episode.
You had to pay for the theme song in 10-second increments.
The local channels we had came right in from the middle of the episode.
Yeah, well, I had sex with this song.
You so, did?
Yeah.
That wasn't pretend. That
no,
was
it
true.
Wasn't pretend. Well, because... Because there was a reason that I switched to this, because initially, before he came over, I was watching a Hitler documentary, and so I was really trying to lighten the mood from the Axis and the Allies.
I can kind of understand that. The movie Harlem Nights has been randomly playing when I was trying to have sex as a teenager, and both of my maybe like two out of my early five sex experiences, it was randomly in the background. And so I do kind of associate
the
that
soundtrack
with
to my life.
5 minutes of bad sex and Harlem Nights.
All right, guys, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/loadedpod, I think, right? Yeah.
Bye, guys. If you're offended about things, you can tell us if you want. But if you're happy about stuff, or you want some advice, or you want to participate in any way, reach out to us at our email.
probablyloadedpod@gmail.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
And tune in to your favorite podcast.
Where things will be misquoted
and opinions ain't sugar.
sugarcoat it.
Cause DJ and Kelly are locked and probably loaded.